Yes.
Yes. Pat's crying. And I was like, I don't really have any empathy for her right now because of everything she has done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate Spinnerbait, but we love Bewitched.
Yes, me too. Yes. Oh, my God.
Bewitched.
Say love me. I only really know that part. I kind of know most of the chorus, but not really.
Like, yeah, not really. Not
it's what I'm learning. I'm sure if I looked up the lyrics, I'd be like, oh yeah, and it would come to me. But at the top of my head, if we were doing blind karaoke right now, would have failed that.
Yeah. I'm Michael Ann. With me, as always, is Bethany. And we just watched the fucking craziest movie I've ever seen in my life. What was that?
Truly a wild ride from start to finish. And may I just say, and this is no shade to DCOMs, because obviously we're two girly pops who love a DCOM. But if this movie wasn't a DCOM, well, I'm going to say that I think it is one of the better DCOMs, which is saying something because it's what we just watched. But if this movie wasn't a DCOM, like, the concept of the movie is actually very good, I think. Like, if this was made, like, with a real budget and some, like, good actors and, like, we changed a couple bits and bobs about it, like, I think the idea of the film is not bad. Like, I think a true, like, good psychological horror movie could have been made out of this, but unfortunately we got a DCOM. Unfortunately we got a DCOM, I should say.
I think a psychological horror is what we got.
Is what it is. Like, this is honestly very horrific for, I really think, I was thinking about this as I was watching it, and I was like, I truly think as millennials, like, I think this is why I'm so opposed to all my stupid apps having AI now, is like, we grew up watching things like Terminator and things like Smart House. And like, y'all are going to be like, oh, Smart House, whatever. But like, this was, we watched this movie at a pivotal time in our lives. Okay. And that stuff sticks with you. So like, I think my like general distaste for AI really was formulated watching this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. This fucking movie. Do you have any background on it? Like, who made it, et cetera, et cetera.
So I think the one guy who I said I saw that clip of who wrote like some of the most iconic DCOMs, I think he may have had a hand in this one, but let me double check. Who, I love that Katie Sagal is in this movie. Like, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Also, this dad, Kevin Kilner, I looked him up because I was like, why do I know this dad? And it's not just from this movie. And this man is like, He's like the go-to dad role. Like, he was in a lot of, he's like plays a dad in a lot of things. He was in A Cinderella Story, and such other roles. But anyways, I was like, that's why that. Oh, okay. Wait, no, I forgot the coolest thing about this movie, y'all, which is who it is directed by. And that is none other than Reading Rainbow. Fucking LeVar Burton directed this film, everybody.
Wow.
Iconic. Your face.
That's why it's so crazy and so good.
That's why it's so absolutely batshit crazy. I totally forgot, because I was like, I have to mention that LeVar Burton directed this film, and yet I almost forgot. Okay, so yes, we have written by Stu Kreiger. I apologize to Stu if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly. And our boy William Hudson. One of them wrote a bunch of DCOMs. Who is it? Okay. It appears to be our boy, Stu. He seems to have a lot of credits to his name. Let me just, oh yes, he wrote Cowbells. He wrote Xenon. So yes, this man had his fingerprints all over every single. He also wrote some Goosebumps. He wrote the TV movie Freaky Friday. The Land Before Time. Iconic.
Oh, iconic.
This man, look at him. The Parent Trap 2. Yeah, he was out there. He was out there doing it. So there you go. Our boy Stu, he brought us such iconic things as Smart House and Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. So thank you, sir. And I also love that the girl who plays Angie is also the little sister in Brink. I was like, I love that this little girl just was like typecast as little sister there for a while on the Disney Channel. That's fantastic for her, honestly.
In my notes, I called her the Disney Channel original younger sister.
Yes, which is spot on, honestly. But yeah, we all have LeVar Burton to thank for this.
Oh my God. Thank you, LeVar.
Yeah, like what an absolute icon.
Thank you
for look at that. Like, look at his picture on IMDb. I'm sure you'll put the graphic up, but just for you to see right now, Michael Ann, look at that man. Look at him. Gosh, what an icon.
An icon.
Truly. Truly. But yeah, he was just out here doing the darn thing. And we love him for that. We love him. And he brought a smart house. But yes, here's my thoughts. Okay, before we delve into our notes and we delve into this, you know, kind of chronologically, my thoughts, obviously, like I said, the whole millennials, this is why we're terrified of AI situation. Oh, my lighting finally fixed. Thank God. My other thought is I look still like a Victorian ghost, but like a healthy one now, not a sick one. So that's progress.
Okay. That's good.
So my other thought is that I got so distracted by Victorian Ghost and I lost my other thought. Oh, okay. I know it now. Yes. Okay. So again, I feel like this movie kind of jump-started the like AI turns bad like vibe thing, Mabob, in a sense, because like that's not a super uncommon thread in film now. And so today I said to my husband before we recorded, I was like, yeah, we're going to talk about Smart House. And I was like, all I got to say is Pat walked so Mithrigan could run. Okay. And yes, I do pronounce Megan Mithrigan because that is what it looks like. And tell me I'm wrong. It is Mithrigan. Me and a group of my friends only refer to that movie as Mithrigan. And then we're like, what's the sequel going to be? Is it Mithrigan? But then that doesn't make any sense because it'll only be the second film. But the first one started with Mithrigan. So I don't know. That's for whoever makes those films. Universal, Blumhouse. That's Blumhouse. Yes. That's for Blumhouse to decide.
Yeah.
I guess, really. That's their problem. But Blumhouse. I hope that they name it Mithrigan. Brilliant. It's brilliant.
Brilliant.
We are wrong.
That is brilliant. I love it.
So yeah, so those are just my overall thoughts. Now let's break down what a wild ride this movie is from start to finish. And also how I think, what are these parents or these parents, this family? Are they what are their names? Their like last name?
Cooper?
Cooper, thank you. I also think that the Coopers are certifiable because the fact that, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the ending real quick and then jump back in chronological order. The fact that they stayed in the house afterwards, right. I was like, what is wrong with you people?
I'm like, she tried to kill you.
Literally held you hostage and then tried to kill you. And then at the end, they're like, that's great. It hasn't had any more of those winky hijinks and other kinks anymore. Like, they're like, dude, you already got the kinks with Pat. And I was like, those are more than kinks. And we watched this movie as children and we're like, yeah, tracks. Like, yeah, of course they'd stay there in their smart house. Like, what? Sort of lock them all up. Something is wrong with them. Like,
oh my God.
I'd be getting the hell out. They're the people in the horror movies that you're like, you bought the haunted house and you realize it was haunted and then you stay. No, get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't call a priest for an exorcism. Just leave.
No, just leave. Just leave. You have that capability. Like, I don't. Oh, that's absolutely bonkers to me. Okay. But yes. Oh, man. Some of my notes I wrote and then I'm like, what? Did I make that, like, I quoted something and then I didn't give context and that was a mistake because now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, what did that mean?
Well, I will tell you that my first note is actually, my first note is acting like this is going to be a regular movie that I can just talk about regularly. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, the conversation between the house people is bad.
Yes.
And then that's when I thought I was in for a normal decom ride. I did not realize this movie was.
Little did you know that the Coopers are certifiable. And also
Murder House.
Yeah, the Murder House. Also the fact that so Sarah, who's the main person, her little guy, who I can't remember his name right now, who's like her little helper, it's the most like they're giving
her little helper. Like he's an elf.
What is, what is his perfect? Like he's just like, he's like her little evil sidekick. Like you, at the beginning of the movie, you're kind of like, are they evil? Like it, Sarah's portrayed like she's supposed to be nice, like a good guy. And then obviously we find out, I guess she is. I mean, she's kind of a little bit guilty by association because she created the murder house. But theoretically, she's a good person who we're rooting for. But the sidekick guy gives off like they're like cartoon villains a little bit. I'm like, why is he like that? Like he's, and he's like the like bumbling sidekick. And I'm just like, oh, that's a choice. Like if you were actually to make a house like this, you would have to be a genius. And this man's like, oh yes, the little freaking claw, the newspaper claw definitely is giving like Doc Ock vibes. And I was like, okay, Spider-Man. So, but terrible CGI. The CGI in this movie.
Yes.
It's so quality. It's not even funny.
Yes. One of my questions I had while watching this movie was like, what are their walls made out of? Are they giant screens that would hurt your eyes?
Yes.
Is it a projector?
Right. And then the fact that like it can give you like when they like do the beach and they can like feel the wind in there and all of that. And I was like, but that's, and like you can smell it. And I was like, but seriously, how would that work? And then the thing, this is the thing that baffles me the most about this entire situation, is so if Pat is controlling the kitchen and the menu and is like, oh, I've whipped up and I figure things out about you, Pat is technically shopping. But how is she? I'm like, where does this food supply come from? And then the one scene where they're being literally, held, can't stress this enough, held hostage by their house, psychotic. She's like, they have a supply for a month. And I was like, so who gets those groceries? Who spends that money? How does it get delivered? Like, I'm like, the adult.
How is
it
stored?
It's like, so cool. But now, as a full functioning person with a, you know, developed frontal lobe, I'm like, this math ain't mathing. How is this all working? Because sure, you win this house in a contest, Ben, you little psycho who keeps signing up for it. Little did you know. And then it's just there. And I'm like, but there's no way that you have it also besides getting this free house and unlimited supply of food. Like you would have to buy groceries. But yeah, where is it stored? How is she getting it? Because the whole thing's like the algorithm. She'll pick a menu for you. And I'm like, but the food would have to be provided. Who is providing the
right
food?
I wrote, my note was like, okay, the question here, who buys the food, or does she create the food? Is she able to magically create food?
Right.
Is like, she magic or is she is science? She magic?
Yeah, I need to know. Where's the line drawn there? Okay. Like, I just have so many questions. Okay. So, yes, essentially the movie starts, and our boy Ben, like I said, little psychopath that he is, keeps entering this contest and to get a house. This is another thing that absolutely floors me. Oh, and because, okay, so mom's dead. He lives with dad and little sister. Mom's and dead. A typical dad, like a freaking destined dad up in this bitch, he is useless. Like, he literally, his, you know, preteen son has to pick up the slack of him because he's so bad that his, like, son is making dinner and he's so busy with work. And, like, he is inept, apparently. Aunt Jenny came to live with him. And then after that, his own child had to pick up his slack. And I was like, my dude, like, yeah, I understand being a single parent is hard. Like, 100% I understand that. But I was like, seriously, like, what a typical dad. Like, I was like, you know what? If mom was still alive, she'd be making dinner for them. But dad's just like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. So our boy Ben doesn't want his dad to remarry because, I mean, like, honestly, that's a solid storyline point. Some of the way that they do it and some of the dialogue that they use is not good. But that as an overall story arc is interesting, right? So yeah. He doesn't want dad to remarry. He thinks that they're great as a unit. So he's busting his butt. He's not trying out for the basketball team because he is determined not to get his you know, dad to get married or whatever. He's like, I could be Mr. Mom if I need to here, like 13-year-old boy. So he signs up for this house. And this is, y'all, the part that just absolutely floored me. I mean, obviously this movie from start to finish floors me. But when they find out his dad is like mad at him, which I guess I could kind of understand, but I'm like, dude, you just got like the coolest house. And also like, where is this town that like they picked this one town to be the place that would have this? I'm like, okay. So I'm like, where is this? First of all, and that you like would pick it. No one has ever lived in a house like this. And you would just pick a contest winner to live in it. And I was like, no, I think you would sell it for lots and lots of money, but maybe they're like, we will work out the kinks, AKA the murder on the poor folk. And then when we work that out, then we can sell it to the rich folk. Right. Maybe that was the plan. So anywho, dad goes and tours it and is like, yeah, we'll try it. And then if not, we'll just leave. And I was like, sir, that is not how home ownership works. Like, I'm assuming he's acting like we're going to stay here for like a weekend and then we'll just go back to our other house if we don't like it. And I'm like, no, you would have to like, basically this house is being signed over to you, sir. Like then it is your responsibility, which means if you don't like it, it's your responsibility to sell it, which I think would sell until they find out about the murder. But I was just like, that's not how any of this works. And like, you're going to have to sell your other house. Like, you wouldn't just have that house on this. Like, no, this is not. But he's like, well, we'll give it a shot. And if we don't like it, like, what, you know, whatever. And like, the fact that the kids are like, please, 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 dad, can we live? Like, the whole thing is so bizarre. I'm like, ain't no way.
You're like, this wouldn't happen. This isn't real.
Yeah, this is not how it happens. Here are some other fan fave moments for me from the first half of the movie. Which is, again, because, like, DCOMs don't know how to, like, drop exposition without it being hella clunky. We need to establish that, like, mom's dad. Oh, we're slap happy. So I was like, you know what? How can you not be slap happy when discussing this movie?
Seriously.
But so they need to establish that mom's a goner, right? And we need to establish that, like, dad's kind of maybe willing to dip his toes back into the dating pool and that Ben is very opposed to it. So this is how they decide to do it. Angie, a.k.a. Disney Channel original little sister, as Michael Ann has coined here, which is perfect, is, like, talking about, you know, if we move or whatever. And she's like, now you can date and we can get a new mom, is how she said it. Line in any movie ever. It is the clunkiest exposition. They're like, how do we establish all of those things in the scene? They're like, I got it. This is the writing room. Okay. They're like, I've got it. What if we have the little sister say, now you can date and we can get a new mom? Like, that's a normal human thing to say. And I was like, okay. When he's trying to do her hair, and he's like, what do you want? And I'm like, she has this much hair. You know what it's going to be doing? You're going to put a headband in it. You're going to maybe put it half up. You're going to put maybe a beret, like a little beret. Well, yes, you could put a beret. Or a beret in it. And I was like, but honestly, she is going to wear it down and straight 90% of the time while she has that haircut. So the fact that, oh, I think that's what the room for improvement is she's like, it's going to look bad as it always does. And I'm like, you have no hair. All you have to do is run a brush through it. Like, no one can, you could do that, girlfriend. Like, you don't need someone. Again, we're trying to be like, they don't have a mom. They need a mother figure to do her hair. And I was like, this is not the actress with the haircut to prove that point, Disney, because her hair is it's perfect at the start of the scene. And he's like, how about some pigtails? And then that's when I think she was like, oh, there's room for improvement. And I was like, yeah, because your hair is not pigtail hair, girlfriend. Little girly pop.
Yes, this scene fucking got to me because they were like, dad's like, I'm sorry, I'm a boy. I don't know how to use a comb. What do you mean?
Mom has been dead for 4 years.
Right. That's most of this kid's life.
Yes. Yes. And you're telling me you haven't learned how to do her goddamn hair in that time? And she's like, I'll just look a mess like I always do. We'll put a hat on it. And I'm like,
she's like, what else is new? You made me look like shit, dad. Fuck you.
I'm a walking embarrassment, and it's your fault, dad. Like, going hard. But yeah, I was like, this scene irks me on so many levels. One, it's the like bumbling idiot dad who's like, I can't part my daughter's hair. And I'm like, it's been four years, sir, since she's fast. And then, yeah, and then the fact that this girl has no hair and they're like pigtails and they try to do a pigtail. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to look bad because she has no hair.
They did pigtails later in the movie, though.
They did, yes. And I'll say most of this movie, her hair is very cute. I don't, are we supposed to assume that when she moved in, Pat helped her? I don't know. But
Pat can magically do her hair.
Yeah.
Just like she magically bounces a ball.
Exactly. It's that newspaper arm. It's the Doc Ock arm. It comes out and it's like, bing! Little claw.
That would be terrifying.
So terrifying. The first time that came at me, I'd be like, hell's no even touching my head.
Like, oh. Listen, there are a lot of times in this movie where I would have been like, I'm fucking set with this house. And let's start with the tour, okay? Okay, so they are touring this house. And they're like all of a sudden, she's like, okay, little girl, put your finger down. And then she's like, ooh, what was that? And it's like, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to tell you. My house is going to take a sample of your blood and do an entire medical history and then announce it.
Yeah, like, and I'd be like, I'd like to not. I'd be like, congratulations.
Exactly. I'm like, wait, I think you have to tell someone before you take a sample of their, especially a child. I don't know. Yes. She's like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. I totally forgot. We're going to take a sample of her skin.
I forget that. She's going to know. I'm like, everything about this is like an invasion of privacy. It's definitely against the law. Like,
wild, it's creepy. Honestly. It's so creepy. I dropped my pen. I'm a
pen. Yeah, some of these quotes, I'm like, dang, I really should put more context. Because now I'm like, one of them I just wrote, my children, which I think is because when dad enters once, he's just like, my children. And I'm like, no one effing talks like that.
I do. I say that to my dogs. My children.
All right. Well, Dad Cooper, I can't think of his name, Nick. Nick Cooper and Michael Landon, my children.
My children. Here we are. Yeah. And then they go into the kitchen for the tour. And she's like, hey, buddy, why don't you say something? And then he says something. And it's like, oh, here's an entire analysis on your spit that we just took. Spit sample. Like, how many bodily fluid samples are you taking from these kids?
Yes.
Without telling them.
And no one thought that this was bad. Yeah, that's a wild, wild concept to me.
Like, imagine
a problem.
If you, like, met Nick and you were like, yeah, take him back to your place, baby. And you like get back to his house and all of a sudden like the house starts talking to you. And he has to be like, oh yeah, no, sorry, this is my living house. It's going to watch us, but don't worry about it. It's probably going to give you tips.
Everything about it creeps me out. Like, it is constantly surveilling them. And I was like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. They have that disturbing. One part of the movie where she's like, oh, don't worry, there's privacy features. So they're not in the bathroom with you. And it's like, yeah, but are they in the bedrooms? Because like, she's in the bedrooms.
She's in the bedrooms. And like, I don't need Pat in the bedroom. Thank you very much. I don't need her watching me sleep. Like, hell's to the nah. Getting dressed. I'd be like, I'm just doing everything in the bathroom.
I live in the shower. Thank you.
Yeah, I live in the shower. Which I guess explains the scene later on when he's like in the bathtub or whatever to like message her because she like, can't follow him in the bathroom. Which when I was watching the movie, I like briefly forgot. And I was like, why the F is this kid just in the bathtub on his laptop? Like, what's that going to do? And I was like, oh, it was established earlier. She's not allowed. Okay, that's all tracking. But I'm like, why is he like preparing for a storm? Like, what is he doing in the bathtub? Which is appropriate because one did come in a sense.
Also, how was he able to do those messaging without Pat knowing?
Yeah, because I was like, I call fake news on that.
She even shut off Dad's cell phone at one point.
Yes, which is not attached to the house. And I was like, again, there are so many signs. The tour was your first sign. Don't buy the house. Don't buy the murder house. Then literally he's like, all right, I want to contact Sarah. And she's like, nope. And like doesn't even let him use his own phone. The second house doesn't let me use my own GD phone, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. I'm like, that's a little sus, but okay. But all of them are just like, that has to be stopped, but what are we going to do? And it's like, move, get out of there.
That's acting strangely, but we're just going to keep going with our day.
We're just going to keep going. I also wrote a note that just says, Dad is a horn dog, which is accurate. This man is such a horn dog. I was like, we get it, sir. Yes. You haven't been with a woman in a while, but like, could you calm down a little bit? And especially for a kids movie, I was just like, this man is disturbing. This movie is for children.
I wrote, dad is being horny on Maine. Like, that guy is literally like frothing at the mouth for Sarah. He's like,
yeah.
I can't pay attention to my kids' emotions because I'm too wrapped up in trying to fuck you, lady in my house.
Ugh. I was like, okay. Oh, I also forgot to mention, this is again from kind of the more beginning of the movie, is that they had just like established that Ben likes basketball. And so they give him a shirt with just a basketball on it. And I thought that was so funny. Especially because in the same scene, his dad is just wearing a shirt with a truck. They're like, what a dad's like? Trucks. What a teenage boy's like? Basketball. And like, it can't be like an affiliated thing. So they're like, just Chuck. You know, like a basketball on a shirt. And I was like, does everyone in this family just wear shirts with like just generic prints on? So I love that. I love the basketball shirt and I love the truck shirt. I was like, this is fantastic.
Also, during the tour, when the little girl spills her milk and the floor like absorbs it, the dad's like, where does it go? And she goes, into the floor absorbers. It's like, that doesn't answer that
question. And where does that go, Sarah? Then I'm like, again, I'm like, what is the maintenance on this house? Because like, yeah, and the party scene, she's like, just throw all the debris on the ground. And if she sucks it all up in the floor absorbers. But I'm like, absorbers, I can't even talk. But I'm like, Bounty paper towels absorb my stuff, but I still have to throw it out. Like, you have to change that. So I'm like, what are these? Like, is it like a vacuum filter? Someone has to come and like maintenance stuff and in the entire house? And it's one thing, like a little spilled milk, but like
an entire party,
party of trash. Yeah, I was like, what the? I have the semantics of how this house operates. I just have a lot of questions about.
Yes. They needed to make different decisions here.
And I also think it's weird that, like, I understand that obviously the average American family isn't as smart as the person who created this entire house. And it makes sense that, like, she would have to be called for certain situations. But wouldn't you think if you were going to be living every day in this house that, like, you would get some kind of rundown, some tutorial on how it works? But, like, there's this whole big room and it's, like, basically under, like, lock and key and they have to call Sarah every time. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you were living in this house. You should know how to operate, like, basic things, at least. Like, when the floor absorber... I was like, you say observers.
I know. It's hard to say.
It's hard to say for some reason. You have to think about it. Or full. Like, you should know how to change it if you need to. And you don't have to, like, call... I'm like, this poor lady. Thank God she ends up, like, getting with dad. Because you're always going to be there, apparently having to help them figure out their house. So...
yeah. Thank God you guys are the same age and both single.
Yeah, that's good for you. I guess that panned out.
Oh my God. I also want to say that when the kid's at school and he's like describing his house and he's like, oh, my house is so great. His friend is like, oh my God, it's like the perfect mom, only there to serve and not there to complain. And I was like,
yeah,
that's some Gilead shit.
I was like, this entire movie has some really weird, like, sexist, yes, misogynistic under vibes for sure. Not even like they just over say vibes. It's not even like a dog whistle, it's just like a whistle, like they're letting you know. Because yeah, you have dialogue like that. The whole purpose of it is like, we don't need a mom if we have someone who can take care of our needs and clean the house and make us lunch and make us breakfast and take care of the kids. And it's like, oh my God, like, that's all you like think of women? Like, your father wouldn't need like companionship, or like, it's only on a woman to do all of these things. Again, just proving how much of a useless father this man is. I was like, this guy is, he can't comb his daughter's hair. He can't cook for them. Like, what? Like, my dude, you're the only parent they have and you cannot parent. I don't understand.
And the movie does make it seem like this man is looking to date so he can find someone to take care of his kids. Like, that's literally what
it sounds like. Won't it be easier if I'm just married and then someone can take care of my kids and I can just like worry about important things like my life and my job? It's like, what?
It's crazy.
Absolutely bonkers to me.
At one point, the little girl and the boy, they're like talking to each other about like mom, and he's like, "Do you even remember, mom?" And she's like, "No, I actually don't." And he like yells at her. He's like, "You're so ignorant!" And for some reason, that just killed me. I'm like, "Ignorant is such a interesting word to have used."
You're like, not the word I would have gone with. More like she was probably like 4 when it happened, and you don't retain a lot of memories from the first 3 years of your life. So no, she really probably doesn't remember, mom. But all right. Yeah, okay. I was like, okay. Like, Ben, seriously, like, so, and I get it. Like I said, there's a crumb of a good idea in this movie. Like, there really is. Like, it's a grieving family and, like, how you could, you know, something like this could happen. And again, like, psychological thriller of it all, in a sense. But yeah, he is just, like, so hell-bent on not having his mother replaced, which, again, I understand is, like, a thing that kids really would, you know, feel. It's an emotion people really would feel. But yeah, like, there's so much, like, melodrama, though, because, again, it's a DCOM and the acting is, like, not the best. Yeah, like, when he's, like, calling his sister ignorant, or the scene where the dad is talking to her and he's like, "You're not the only one who lost someone," and, like, just all of it is just, like, and again, like, it's, the intentions of the scene are good. It, just the way it is actually executed. No shade to you, LeVar Burton. You're an icon. But
yeah, you're an icon.
But just, yeah, like, some of the way things are executed, you're like, oh, yeah, this could be... I enjoyed, what are some other choice dialogue? So, yeah, so once they're, like, they're living in the house and it's, like, the good times for a little bit, and then Ben's getting kind of worried that, like, dad is being an absolute horn dog over Sarah and yes, liking her. So he's like, oh, man, I got to feed Pat, which, again, is another, like, weird misogynistic thing. Like, what's the perfect, you know, mom is, like, a 1950s housewife. So he feeds her all this, like, 1950s, like, you know, sitcoms and stuff like that. And that's where Pat, like, starts kind of starting to turn. Her algorithm starts kind of getting jacked up. And she's like, mother knows best. And all of that stuff. So, which honestly, though, Pat's look when she, like, takes on a human form in the later film is kind of iconic. I was honestly, that look is a slay, though. So, I'm going to give her that. But... one of Nick's concerns is that, like, Ben is basically having to parent because, can't stress enough, Nick is useless as a parent. So he's like, I just wish you could have some more fun. And so Pat's like, okay, like, let's let them have fun. And she decides basically to, like, throw a house party. And this is my favorite thing, which Mike was watching this with me. And, well, sort of watching it. He was tuning out and then tuning it in occasionally and making side comments. But when all the boys get together and it's playing, I believe, the Music Party Channel is what it's called. That was, like, fantastic. 10 and 10, no notes. I'm not even sure it is. It's like some D-grade boy band comes on. Was it BB Mac? Is that who it is in the little video? I can't remember now.
I think so.
I should have written it down, but I think it might be BB Mac. And it comes on. They're like, oh, yeah. And all the 3 teenage boys start doing synchronized choreography to it. And I was like, never, ever, ever would this happen. Like, a bunch of preteen boys or teenage boys getting together would be like, yeah, BB Mac's my jam, and start doing synchronized choreography with it. I was like, oh, no. And then, like, teenage girls would, but not teenage boys.
And then they, like, they finish it and they, like, did the whole thing and they're like, hell yeah, dude, now we're ready for a party. Now we're ready. It's like,
now we're okay. We got the adrenaline pumping. Now we're ready to go, baby. And I was like, oh, that's just doing, like, a little, I was like, they know it. They know. I was like, they practice this a lot, I think. We're ready with that choreography. And I was like, okay. I mean, I respect. I wish more teenage boys would have done that, because if when I was a teenage girl, I would have really appreciated it. And this is another one of my favorite lines. So obviously the most iconic line is, now you can date and we can get a new mom, from Angie earlier in the film. But one of the other favorite lines is during the party, and maybe also one of the most disturbing lines, is when Ben says, snack attack, show me the honey. And I was like, attack, show me the honey. And I was like, please don't.
Like, no.
Please don't. So yeah, that just had to get a special shout out to that. Also, the song The House Is Jumping just does get stuck in my head every time I watch
jump,
this movie.
The house is jumping.
Jump, jump. The house is jumping. Great. 10 out of 10. The song. Okay. I'm telling you, DCOMs do not disappoint. Like, they are earworms every time. Every single one that we have discussed so far, there's a song that just gets stuck in my head every time. So I'm going to give you all that. The soundtracks on DCOMs are always absolutely popping.
Yes.
But yes. So we get to the party. And again, you know, they all of a sudden, dad's coming home and the kids are stressed out. And that's when Pat's like, just throw all the debris on the floor, children, it's fine. And then dad comes in and there's one thing that honestly he wouldn't have even noticed, y'all. But they like ratted themselves out. They're like, over exaggerated gas because there's a towel out. And you could have been like, oh, I was like showering and I forgot it.
There's a jacket. Silly me.
Or is it a jacket? Sorry, I thought it was like legitimately a towel. And I was like, I don't know. But like, you kind of made him an excuse, you know? So I was like, okay, the one jacket they forget on the plant, like, you know, so they kind of wrap themselves out. So dad sets them down and then he's like, Pat, that's not what I, she's like, well, you know, you said that they should have more fun. And he's like, that's not what I meant. And they need to, you know, shape up or whatever. And then that's when she just like really turns into Murder House and is like jealous of Sarah and is ready to just be like, no, you cannot call her. You need to get more work done. And all that kind of stuff. And again, this already absolutely batshit movie goes from insane to even more insane, essentially.
Yes. And you know what she says when he is yelling at her? She's like, okay, I will be the perfect maternal figure. And he's like, thank you. And it's like,
yeah,
no, that's not what you want this house to be.
No, it's a house. It's an AI. Why?
Yeah. And also I maternal figure in on. What way?
Yes. Oh,
being naggy and making dinner. Like, oh my God. One of the TV shows.
I need it
shows,
to be clean.
Hmm. One of the TV shows that he loaded into the system was called Noah's Matriarch. And the arc was capitalized.
Oh my God.
Noah's Matriarch.
What a wild time. Yeah, this movie really has bizarre thoughts and feelings about motherhood and just like women in general. And I'm just like, yikes.
It's really
disturbing.
We are like really seeing like a dark side to a little boy's psyche. Like,
yeah. You can tell that this was clearly done by all men.
Yes.
Written by two men, directed by a man. Yeah, and it shows. If a woman would have written this, it would have come off been better.
Yeah,
I think it would have been a little bit different. But I was like, oh, yeah. There's just a lot of moments that give you pause in this film about what they think about.
Yes,
motherhood.
Also, when they show the video of. Like when Ben is watching that like video of his mom and it's like the perfect mom and it's like sunny out and like, I wrote that she's a manic pixie dream mom. Like there are manny pixie dream moms and they're always the mother of a grieving son.
Mm-hmm. Always. It's always the son. Yes. That is like grieving their mother. 100% always. It's the entire basis of the show Supernatural.
It is.
And listen, y'all, I love that. I watch that show, whatever. But if you really want to boil it down, bunch of man pain because the woman died. Okay. Technically two women, because that's how it also starts. They fridged a lot of women in that show. It's fine. It's not fine. But
that's not surprising whatsoever.
Not what we're here to talk about today, so we won't get into those semantics. But oh, man, yeah. What a time. Did I watch like all 18,000 seasons of it? Sure did. I actually fell off at a certain point. And then everyone's like, Destiel confirmed. And I was like, do I need to get back into the show? But it wasn't really. But anyway. Not the point. We are not here to discuss that tonight.
I only watched the first couple episodes.
It slapped in a lot of ways. And in a lot of other ways, it's a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's what I'm going to say about that. That's what I'm going to say about that. Yes. It has some problems if you really think, if you look too closely at it. Much like this film.
Much like Noah's but Matriarch. Yes.
I did. It's funny that you're saying that, like the manic pixie dream mom and how It makes me think of, yes, it's always like the dead mother or their dead wife or girlfriend. And you know how they always like the trope is if your dead wife or girlfriend, like for some reason you have videos of her where she's like laughing in linen and you're like, why are they always wearing white and like messing around the sheets? I'm like, don't film me. No, I look hideous. And they're like the most perfect, beautiful angel you've ever seen. And they're like, she was just a perfect angel. Which is why I always love the scene in Good Will Hunting where Robin Williams talks about his wife. And like, obviously this is his wife. It was his life partner and he loved her so much. And he says all these nice things about her. And then he says some like things like, and when she farted, it would stink up the, and it's like, yes, like that is real. Like that is real human emotion. And I just always love that scene. And like Robin Williams, what a mensch.
That scene's so good.
Yeah. And I like, he's so good. And like the way he delivers it. And it's like, yes, like that is how you should talk about like your deceased loved one. That is real. Not the way that like every other like film tries to do it. I mean, anywho, I told Mike the other day, this randomly came up because we're always like snapping each other pictures of our dog and like taking pictures of our dog. And so I said, yes. And when I die one day, and there should be a montage of me beautifully clad in like a linen dress in our sheets that I've just made the bed. And I'm like, oh, stop filming me. You won't have any of those. You'll just have a bunch of photos of our dog. As it should be.
Yep.
100%. But I was like, yeah, you won't have any photos to look on me lovingly and cry as you watch videos of me and think about what a perfect angel I was. You'll just be like, well, it's another photo of Luna. Oh, and some more photos of Luna. Like, yep. His entire Instagram, y'all, is just photos of our dog. And I love it. Like, I am so supportive of it. But yeah, I randomly told him that the other night. I was like, yep, if I'm ever deceased, she won't be able to do that movie trope where the guy, like, looks at the video of his, you know, dearly departed wife, the perfect woman.
He'll have to watch our podcast.
Yeah. That'll be his way. He'll be like, there she is again, yelling about the patriarchy. Oh, Michael Ann's gone off about Christianity.
Let me tell you about Christianity.
Okay. That'll be, he's like, oh, capitalism rant again. Okay. He's like, I don't know how long somehow turned into a whole political discussion. It's like, one of our earlier iconic moments, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's what he'll get to endure when he misses me, is this podcast. Honestly, I love that would be my legacy. Yes, please watch me talk about, play about Sarah Dessen books and DCOMs and how much the patriarchy sucked.
Yes. The patriarchy was really saying a lot of things in this film. A lot of things.
Why was it?
They also kept saying that she was there to serve them. And like, I understand like the concept of the house is there to serve you, but like, you're putting
the fact that you keep making it the mom.
Yes.
Basically, it's like, ooh.
It's like weird.
I'm going to keep feeling about that.
Also,
snack attacks show me the honey. I have an icky feeling about that sentence, and I have an icky feeling about how much they keep emphasizing the serve. That's like, yeah, how it ends basically is she's like, oh, you know, Ben told me that Pat's been, you know, behaving, and he's like, yep, she's just been here to serve us. And I was like,
yes, he's like, she's serving us perfectly. And it's like, ew,
I don't like it.
Very like Mormon-esque. No offense to all y'all Mormons out there.
I don't think any of you are watching or listening to our podcast.
Probably not.
Just a weird sneaking suspicion I have. But if you are, it's never too late. You can get out. Okay.
Yes. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
Also, during the party, first of all, it's fucking creepy that she, like, invites his bully. Yeah. And then she, like, tries to murder him. I'm like, yes. This kid could shut this whole operation down with one conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, it shocked him with like lightning.
And the fact that like that never does come back up for the rest of the movie. Like, yes. There isn't ever a mom being like, excuse me, your house just, also what's the house insurance like? Because you know, if like someone trips and falls in your house, like that's on your house insurance. Imagine if your house literally electrocutes a child.
Right. I was like, she's trying to, this is when Murder House really began.
Yes. Yeah.
She and was trying was to kill
definitely
him.
Definitely where I was like, the writers in Mithrigan saw this scene and were like, well, what if we took that and ran with it? And yeah, she's like, how dare you? And also it's very weird, which is so, oh my God, Pat is a hashtag boy mom. Ooh,
yes, boy mom. She is.
Which again, if you are a mother of boys, awesome. Boys are awesome. I love, you know, like by all means, words. Oh my God. I just tripped over my own nose. Like, like a mini stroke there. Sweet Jesus. Sorry, everyone. I don't know what just happened to my brain. It literally short-circuited. I think Pat.
It's Pat.
What I was going to say is there's a difference between a mom who has boys and a hashtag boy mom, right?
Yeah.
And Pat, again, which is like this so weird, creepy vibe of the whole like vibe of this film, right? Is she's like, you barely see her with Angie, which I understand that like Ben is more the main protagonist of this movie. But it is also another weird layer that I was like, oh my God, Pat is such a like hashtag boy mom, where she's like, don't you hurt my little Benny boo boo boo. And she's like very much more like concerned about him and his desires and his wants and his needs, because he's her perfect little boy. And I was like, ooh, I don't like that either. And I was like, what about Angie? Like, Angie's over there, she's doing things. What if she needs something, Pat? But no, she's just busy literally beating up Ben's bullies. So that was weird.
And she also only invited Ben's friends to that party.
Yes. And it's like, okay.
She's like, weird. Annie, you're too smart for me. You would see through this creepy thing. Your brother and your dad aren't seeing it.
She's very possessive and protective of the two men in the house, essentially.
Yes.
And I'm just like, yeah, like the sister is like an afterthought and like she's fine. And
she's just like comic relief.
Yes. Yeah. This whole movie is definitely, the more I unpack it, the more I'm disturbed.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it like, okay, this is very dark, really.
I really, when I got to the party scene and she does that thing to the bully, I was like, this is very intense for a kid's movie. Yes. Like this is, and it's like kind of like the opposite message that you should send to a kid. Like it shouldn't be like, yeah, like if your bully's bullying you, get him back. It should be like, you know, turn the other cheek, take the high road, that kind of stuff. Like that's usually preached to children. And it's like, no, just have your AI house attack him. Like it was like, he'll get his comeuppance. Don't you worry. And I'm like, it's a weird vibe for a family film. Yeah. It's just all strange.
It is so crazy. And then the girl that Ben's interested in is like, I like Ben. And he's like, you do? And she's like, I do. And I was like, she likes you for your house, dude. If your house wasn't like this house, she wouldn't give a shit about you. Okay.
What even is your personality, Ben? Not wanting a mom and basketball?
Like secretly hating women and basketball?
what is your whole shtick? Okay. Women are meant to serve you. Ugh. Out of all of your babies and, you know, whatever Harrison Butker's agenda is.
Like,
you know, my wife's life really began when she got married and had children. And I'm like, okay.
When she becomes a person and... Like, literally, I'm like, the end of the movie notes are like, this movie is, like, legit scary. Like, she could literally kill them. She sealed
the
door. The
door is locked.
Yes.
I was like,
yes. I was like, no one's getting in or out of there.
Terrifying. Terrifying.
Like, what the fuck? And then he's like, all right, we got to go. We got to get out of the house. And he goes to reach for his keys and she absorbs the keys.
Yes.
So now they can't contact anyone in the outside world. So they can't even look out the window. And you took their keys.
Like, I like how they think that sleeping all together on the living room floor is like, I'm like, what is that?
What was the point of that? Yeah.
What was the point of that?
Like, you probably could have all fit in dad's bed if you needed to be together.
Yeah. Just saying.
It wasn't a tornado.
What's happening? Why do we all need to be on the lowest level of the house? Isn't a storm coming? You don't need to hunker down. Like,
Oh, yeah. So when she becomes a person, she's like, Mama's here. It's so spooky. This movie is horrifying.
It really is. I'm telling you. I don't understand why all technology needs AI now. I don't know why when I go on Google, Google can't Google things. I'm like, I just want the internet to internet. I don't need it to like do this thing. Because half the time when it does the AI thing, it's wrong. I'm like, yes. No, just let me scroll to the searches. And then people are too lazy to scroll and they're getting wrong information. And AI is just so creepy to me. It's all creepy.
Yep. AI is very creepy. I don't like it.
Not a fan. Not to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but like, no. I don't want it.
No, thank you. It's also freaky that they can multiply.
Yes.
So they are really, they are trapped in a house of horrors. Mm-hmm. Luckily, she's not corporeal.
Is that a word? We both are just like, corporeal? Wait, no, hold on. I gotta look this up now. Is it a word? Do I know this word? What word you're thinking of? I don't know if I know it. Where are you trying to go with this?
Corporeal. Corporeal is the word.
Is a word? Wait, how do you spell this?
C-O-P-O-R-E-A-L.
E-A-L?
Mm-hmm.
Corporeal. Oh. Wait, I need to hear this pronounced.
Corporeal.
Yeah, you're saying it right. Corporeal. Corporal property. I almost said corporal property. That's not it. Corporeal property. Corporeal god. Okay, yes. So it says relating to a person's body, especially as opposed to their spirit. Is that right?
Yes, their corporeal form is like they're not really there.
Oh, yes. Okay, I understand what you're saying now. Yes.
Yes. Or they're not corporeal form or whatever. Anyway, when she does that, she's not corporeal, so she can't touch them. She can't do anything to them. So, like, that's good. But she can still multiply and fill their house and make wind.
And then, made a little storm. And then they all had to, like, you know, shelter each other. And then that's when Ben, like, makes his big, like, you can't do that, Pat. You can't touch us. And she's like, shroom. And this is really a melodramatic scene. She's like, could you even feel that? And he's like, no, not at all. This is a big climax in the movie. I'm like, this is trying to murder them. And then this teenage boy being like, you can't touch me is what, like,
yes,
makes her back down. And she's like, oh, okay then. And then Sarah can like fix the AI and they can all live there happily ever after. Nah. If it happened once, it can happen again. And again, y'all are going to get sued because your house literally beat up a child. Like,
yes. Yes.
It's all so wrong. Another thing, horn dog dad. Wait, I forgot this quote. Hold on.
Fucking horn dog dad.
So when they're over making dinner, and this is where he like has his mom replacement lady, basically, is how he sees his person he wants to date. So he literally has her make peach cobbler because like Ben liked his mom's peach cobbler. Like the whole thing, again, another like weird scene. But anyways, when Ben walks down the stairs or whatever and sees them making dinner together, the dad kisses Sarah and he goes, delicious. The tomato wasn't half bad either. And I was like, puke. And again, another thing that I was like, ew, acorn dad. And two, that does not need to be in a family film. Like,
that dad needs to get laid and he needs to get laid quickly.
Desperately. Post-haste. I was like, sir, just right there and now, just do it and let's all be done with it. So you can stop being so horny on me, like truly.
Seriously, it's too much.
So the very end, like I said, after the house literally tries to murder them, they're all good and she's serving them again. So it's fine. Whoa.
Serving without interfering. That's what it was.
Serving without interfering. Exactly how we like all our women. Yeah. So anyways, that's going on or whatever. And so that he makes waffles and he's like, look, I, again, again, which I honestly like that Angie kind of sassed him here and was like, our little dad, all grown up. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, big baby, meanwhile. Listen, a trained monkey can make a waffle, my dude, okay? So you deserve no praise for that. So he's like, look at me, I made a waffle. I didn't even need any help. And so then, of course, we find out that Pat put the chocolate chips. And then literally, the creepiest ending ever, after this woman, like, manifested herself into an actual person and multiplied through their house and, like, tried to murder them, can't stress that part enough, she then is, like, there still, like, in her little, like, Katie Sagal version of herself, her 1950s housewife self, and, like, his little wink at the camera to Ben. And that's how the movie ends. And I was like, I'm disturbing.
What are you guys still doing there? Yeah. Why are you still there? I don't understand. Like,
listen, there's a word that we like to say here at Hate Spinnerbait, and it is run. And I think that you all need to run as fast as you can. Get the hell out of Dodge. Do not live in the murder house, okay?
Dodge.
It's not good.
After that conversation with Ben, she, like, basically walks into the middle of the living room and, like, kills herself.
Like, in front of their eyes.
My little baby boy can't even feel me. I'm just going to go in the other room and die. Thanks.
I'm just going to die. I'll miss you guys. I'll still be your house, apparently, but I'll miss you. Question mark?
I can't. Yeah. And then they're like, she's crying. That also is a really weird thing.
Yes. Yes.
Pat's crying. And I was like, I don't really have any empathy for her right now because of everything she has done.
Because she is an attempted murderer of children.
Yeah. So.
Multiple
children. Yeah. So it's really not a great look, Pat. It's not good for you.
It's not.
Ugh. So yes. Smart House. Seeing it many years later. Overall, pretty misogynistic.
Yes.
AI is creepy. I thought that then. I still think that now. So I'm going to say that part holds up. The Bewitched song, great. Certain parts of the house, I think I could vibe with. Overall, no. I would never live there. Because again, AI creeps me out. And Katie Sagal's look as human Pat slaps, as mentioned. Dad is a horn dog. I really hope he's gotten laid now. And he just stopped.
I hope so. It's been like 30 years.
Yeah, so I think at this point it's for sure happening for him. And yeah, I think that wraps up my thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. Do you have any wrap-up thoughts for us, Michael-Ann?
I don't think so. I think I covered... Oh, actually, one thing I did want to say is...
Yes, please.
They all get woken up with specialty alarms, and Ben's is a buzzer for basketball.
Yeah.
That's not like... a nice thing to wake up to. Like, no. You might as well be waking up to a regular alarm, only 10 right. times louder.
Yeah, it's basically the same. I was like, this is a cool theory and concept. Like, that's a part of the house that I thought was kind of fun, like all their little specialty alarms. And that's like kind of the whole room sort of does it is nifty. But yeah, his was not great. And it would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I agree with that.
Yeah. That is all of my, those are all of my thoughts. That movie was fucking crazy. I immediately texted my friend Victoria and I was like, you just need to stop everything you're doing and watch this movie right now. So she has been, she's been texting me and it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. It's truly a lot. Please let us all know your thoughts and feelings. Do you, want Snack Attack, Show Me the Honey? Do you then I can date and we can get an email. Let us know your thoughts. And then let us know what decom we should watch next. I'm excited to also be slightly traumatized by my childhood, as I have been. Xenon was the one that held up the most for us so far. Xenon always slaps. Fantastic. Cadet Kelly kind of let us down. This movie terrified me. In a fun way.
In
a very fun way. I highly recommend everyone go watch it if you haven't watched it in a while, because woo, you're in for a real treat.
You are.
But in for a ride for certain. But yeah, I'm excited to see what we watch next. Let's see how it holds up. But until then, everyone, take care of yourselves and try not to let your house murder you, I guess.